Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
On a Monday, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Appreciate you being here. Whether you are, taking the week off, like everyone in this building, apparently, or whether you're working. I mean, it's a ghost town up here, for sure. We still haven't figured out how to game the system where we, too, get to work from home on a day like this. Makes it tough. But we're going to be here till Wednesday, and then we're taking the Thursday and Friday off. But, we'll be here doing our best. So thanks for being here with us. I'm Woodsy. That's Frank Marchese, a.k.a. Italian Paul, a.k.a. Skinny Frank, is here running the controls today. To my left is Ben Higgins, friendly neighborhood sports anchor as well.
I was actually at the Corona Cave on Friday.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, spending a couple of hours there, sitting at that same kitchen table where we worked from quote-unquote home for the better part of a year during the pandemic.
What were you doing at the Corona Cave sitting at the kitchen table?
We had some cleaners at our house. I had to take the dog and one of my boys, and we just get out of the house a little bit so we could stay out of the way.
What did you do at the table? Just play on your laptop?
I mostly just looked at my phone and sat there, and
just
had lunch with my mom. We had sandwiches.
Oh, sweet Kim.
Yeah.
Well, so while you were just sucking down sandwiches and playing on your phone, told you guys on Friday. So we bought a Sprinter van for the family. We're going to have some family trips, and we're very excited about the purchase, and it's really, really cool. And so after the show on Friday, I've been asked or tasked, voluntold, that I was going to get off the air, race home, grab my missus, drive up in her car to San Gabriel, which is in deep
near deep. Pasadena, right?
I don't even know.
So, like off the 10,
yeah.
East of downtown Los Angeles.
Yes.
Kind of where Santa Anita Park is, way up there.
Way.
Do they not have Sprinter vans in San Diego? Why do you have to go all the way up there to get a Sprinter van?
These were conversations that were had in the car on the way, okay, mostly by me.
Okay.
My wife is very particular. She reads all the reviews. She will dive deep, and she feels like she made the right choice. So we get in the car, and I had to do the talk to myself for a minute. Like, hey, it's been a long week, but this is going to be great. Your wife really wants you to do this. Let's just do it and don't bitch about it. So I did. And
we car time with the missus.
Quality windshield time. So we actually had a nice drive up, jamming some tunes, having great convos, talking about all the fun things we're going to do. So we get up there, and when I tell you guys, we are 1.8 miles away from the dealership. 1.8. Traffic is pretty good. I made it up there in two hours and 15 minutes. 1.8 miles away, the phone rings. Hannah goes, oh, no. And I go, what? She goes, hello? Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay. Well, no, things happen, I guess. And I can feel my blood pressure rising. Now I'm driving and I'm going, what? Who is it? What did they say? She goes, we have a problem. And I go, oh my God, what? So apparently the guy that was getting the van ready tripped some wire, right? And the airbag light came on and it would not turn off. So we're not going to drive out that day with a van. He goes, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get this thing over to the Mercedes dealership. They're going to take a look at it, and we'll just bring it down to you. But while you're here, sign some paperwork. We'll do the orientation, do the walkthrough. Now, remember, your boy was going to go just drop her off. All right, babe, I'll see you at home. No. So now I'm there.
And she was going to drive the van back.
She was
going to
drive the van back. So I'm mildly incensed at this point. So I'm like,
so now you're stuck because you have to take her back because she won't have the van.
Yeah, I just got to wait. Now, luckily, man, we got through the paperwork. We did the walkthrough. It's so cool. It's going to be so great for our family. The kids are excited. It's a big deal. And we're really pumped. So get back in the car. And I'm sweating at this point. I'm going to keep looking at my watch going, if we leave any later, we're looking at 3 hours, 4 hours in the road. Man, zipped home. Only hit traffic like at Oceanside, basically. That's where the traffic started. We went some back roads and made it home, no problem. But the funny thing is I had said on the air on Friday, we were talking about our family trip to Vegas and how Hannah wanted to drive the van. And I said, there's no way in hell I'm driving the 6 hours to Vegas. And my quote was, and I got a lot of grief for it, only morons drive to Las Vegas. And I'm not a moron. Guess who's a big, fat moron? Me. So yesterday morning, I log on to Travelocity, and then I log on to iFly Southwest, and I go, I'm just going to book these tickets because I'm not driving that van to Las Vegas. It's just not happening. With two kids, no chance.
I'm thinking of Andy Dufresne in court. The quote was, I'll see you in hell before I see you in Reno.
That's right. I'll see you in hell before I drive that van to Las Vegas. So, yeah, Adam says, who could forget that comment? Because Adam said, I drive to Vegas. Ben said, yeah, I also drive to Vegas. So I plug in, you know, everyone's age and name and hit submit for this flight, like an 11:30 flight out on a Friday. Come back at about 11:30 on Sunday. It was $1,869. And I went,
like $2,000.
Yes, $2,000 to fly to Vegas. And I go,
yeah, the gas, you said, is just as expensive as going to Vegas. That one tank of gas, you know, just as expensive as your $2,000 flights.
So I walked in the next room and I go, hey, you win. And she goes, what do you mean? I go, you won. We're driving to Vegas. She goes, what? And I go, it's $2,000 to fly to Las Vegas. It's not worth it. And she's like, she was so happy and so giddy. Bummer for you, though. I'm probably going to take that Friday off.
Oh, just so you're driving. Know. Yeah,
and we'll leave at like 4 in the morning and go and do the thing. But Yeah, there's just no cheap flights to Vegas.
Brandon says, did you check Spirit Airlines? They're in bankruptcy. You can get real cheap flights to Vegas. Now, if you want to bring the kids like bags or anything,
$1,000,
it's an extra $1,000.
It ended up being the same, but Lord Moron now will be driving to Las Vegas in the Moron van if we ever get it. But, man, the look of disappointment on Hannah's face when the guy said, you don't get to take your van home today. She's been so disappointed all weekend. I said, well, I mean, it's not like we had a trip planned on Sunday. We were leaving for Yellowstone, and we don't get it now. We're going to get it hopefully this week. And but, yeah, man, I'm...
In case of a loss of cabin air pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the ceiling. Insert your credit card, and oxygen will begin to flow freely for $4.99 a minute.
No, even my dad, who's notoriously frugal, I don't even think he'll fly Spirit Airlines. So, yeah, I'll be driving to Vegas in the van.
Just pick the right time, and you'll be okay. Don't drive back Sunday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's insane. That's an insane maneuver. But you can make it to Vegas, and it's not a bad drive if you pick the right time.
What time should I leave on a Sunday, would you think?
Sunday, coming home from Vegas? The earlier the better.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Earlier the better. But you guys you can do early. You can make it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you'd be okay if you leave early enough.
Early is, we are an early family.
Yeah, you don't,
so.
If you're hitting, if you're hitting that 15 on the way out of town after like 9 a.m., you're in a lot of trouble. But if you get going early enough, you should be fine. Because remember, most people are staying out a little too late on Saturday, struggling to get up, make that checkout time of 11 a.m. But if you guys can make the checkout a little bit earlier,
no problem.
You can beat the rush back to Southern California.
Bro, I'll leave at 4 a.m. I have no problem getting up early. I get up. I was up 3 a.m. on Saturday, 4 a.m. yesterday, 3 a.m. this morning. I have no problem getting up early, throwing the kids in the van, and driving back.
But how was the van? Did you get to see it even?
Oh, yeah. We got to walk through
it. I saw the pictures.
Oh, my God. It's so rad. It's so cool. There was two options. Like, we got the more they're the less fancy version, but more like, it's more like rubber floors instead of, you know, nice fancy floors, because we have two kids that are just disgusting. And
it's like Dexter. If you need to clean out easily.
Yeah. Yeah. If I murdered someone and there'd be an easier clean out than it would to have the other one. But it is so cool and slick, and I'm really looking forward to it. With all the stuff coming down the pike for us, you know, we're going to be playing travel ball and going to tournaments and loading up the thing with all the gear. It's just a really good fit for us.
Probably have some kids that are going to have to climb into the back at some point. Not your kids. I mean, like,
kids.
Neighborhood kids, teammates, you know, travel ball teammates. They can all jump in the van.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Yeah, so you can, I mean, it's going to be really cool down the road when we want to go do stuff. And then, you know, she wants to go to a state or a national park every summer. Will be a trip that we do. So, that's going to be coming handy for that. But, yeah, it's a Sprinter van. It's really, really slick. And
do you like having your life planned for the next decade plus?
I kind of do.
Is that good?
Yeah, I kind of do. I do. You look forward to things with your kids and, like, make sure you want to take them to do certain and specific things and expose them to things. And I think that van's going to be a big help now that, you know, we're terrified that it's going to be a lemon. You know, if the light comes back on, like, what do we do then? But we'll worry about that when we get it.
Tony says Death Valley. You know, I've lived in California my entire life. Never been to Death Valley.
Me neither.
Other than, you know, it's the lowest point in North America and it gets really, really hot. Is there, like, a reason to go to Death Valley? Other than it's there and to say that you've been there? Is it, like, spectacularly beautiful or something?
No,
I don't
know.
I never really understood the appeal of Death Valley. I mean, you know, Adam says Death Valley is interesting. Yeah, it is, but I find it can be interesting from afar without me actually being there.
It's scary.
Well, yeah, if you're like stranded without shelter
and it's called Death
water,
Valley.
Obviously it's very scary.
Where's Life Valley? Boobs Valley. Take me to Boobs Valley. That's where I want to go. I do not want to go anywhere called Death Valley.
I mean, I could think of a couple good reasons to go to a place called Death Valley, but, you know.
What would they be? To kill someone?
I can't discuss those things on air.
Well, he's Italian Paul, so.
I could think of a few good reasons.
I don't get it.
You know, mafia, desert.
Oh.
Leaving someone
out in the desert. A lot of holes out in the desert.
A lot of holes out in that desert.
A lot of bodies are buried in those holes. Yeah, Death Valley's never, it hasn't appealed to me, but if people are saying it's nice, I'm sure my wife will make me do a trip out there at some point to see it. Have you seen the Salton Sea? That's pretty cool.
I've driven past the Salton Sea.
It's pretty solid. You can see it at Joshua Tree from a certain area, and at night, I mean, it's a weird scene out there. I like it, though. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to check out Death Valley National Park.
You could probably get national park suggestions for the rest of the show.
Oh, yeah.
That's all we wanted to do.
We can do that.
We don't need to do that.
All right.
Actually, we might. You know, we planned it. Without Paul, we planned a pretty good two-hour show. Unfortunately, we have a four-hour show, so we're going to have to...
Let's replay the first 2 hours, and then we can...
Kick into overdrive a little bit. I do have a baseball topic I wanted to get to. I saw this yesterday at MLB.com, and it was the top 10 active players who have never won an MVP award. And there were a pair of Padres on the list. You could probably guess who they are, but I thought it was interesting in terms of also the all-time players who have never won an MVP award, and it surprised me. A couple of the names that were on the list. Get to some baseball talk and more after a quick timeout and check of traffic with Kelly Danik. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Actually, had a fairly rare occurrence this year. I didn't realize that it was that rare, but the fact that both MVP winners this year, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani, had won before. It's actually pretty uncommon that both guys in both leagues are multiple-time MVP award winners, which means neither league had a new winner this year, so no one was added to the list of MVP awards. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit on Friday. We didn't get too much into the MVP awards, but in baseball, it's tough. I mean, even the best players of all time. How many did Barry Bonds win? I mean, four?
Oh, I thought it was more.
Did he get six even? The writers tend to... almost make it more difficult. The more that you've won, it seems
seven.
Like... He won seven MVPs? All right, so that's the most ever, right? Is that the most ever all time?
So.
So Will... is it Leitch? I always forget how to pronounce it. Leitch or Leitch. Wrote about the 10 best players currently, he said, who do not have an MVP award, and there were a pair of Padres on this list. So he's got Yordan Alvarez of the Astros, who finished third in 2022. Vlad Guerrero was a runner-up in 2021. Francisco Lindor, who was a runner-up this year with the Mets. Manny Machado was runner-up with the Padres in 2022. Ketel Marte, who's had a couple of close calls the last couple of years, including third this year. Jose Ramirez has never won an MVP award. He feels like he's up there. He was a runner-up in 2020 in the short season. Corey Seager never won one, was second in 2023. Juan Soto still doesn't have one. Second in 2021. Fernando Tatis Jr. was third in 2021. Certainly could win one at one point in his career. Kyle Tucker, he's never been higher than fifth. But those, he said...
An interesting throw in.
Ten guy. Well, I think he had nine, and then he needed to pick a tenth, perhaps.
You can just do a list of nine.
Nine. You can do a list of nine.
Yeah, be different, dude. You can do... This is my nine. These are my nine best players.
He also mentioned, like, who's the greatest to never win an MVP award in their career? And he brought up Derek Jeter or Tony Gwynn as two of the all-time Hall of Famers, guys who were nearly unanimous selections in the Hall of Fame, but never won an MVP award in their career. And how important is it, how career-defining is it to actually win that MVP award? I think we make too much of it sometimes. Like, for instance, this year, Bobby Witt Jr. had an MVP season.
Oh my
he just
God.
Happened to have it.
Did he ever?
The year that Aaron Judge had a better MVP season.
Yep.
Does that make him any lesser of a player because he didn't
no.
win? No.
No.
It doesn't make him any lesser of a player at all. Just because you sneak out a close vote to win one year, you could have a better season the next year and not even come close
yeah.
because someone else had an insanely good season. Because
you're
going up against Shohei Ohtani, who's pitching and hitting all kinds of home runs, and you got like no shot. So does that really make a difference in your mind what kind of player you are?
Not really. I mean, it's one of those things where for the fans, I would love to see one of my favorite players win the MVP. But when you're in the NL, especially, like, how many is Shohei going to win? If he stays healthy, he's your MVP. I mean, we had that discussion when he was on the Angels. There's no more valuable player than a guy that does that. What he does, if he plays to his ceilings at pitcher and hitter, who's more valuable? It's
well,
two for one.
The fact that he won one unanimously this year without throwing a pitch.
Or playing an inning of defense.
Makes it seem like an impossible mountain to climb
Correct.
In the National League. Unless he gets hurt and misses a good chunk of the season.
Correct.
If he comes back and he's pitching at a high level and continuing to hit anywhere near the level he's hitting at, it does feel like the MVP award is kind of shut, unless the writers decide just to get quirky and go, I'm tired of giving it to Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, like they used to do
every single year
with Jordan when they'd give one to Barkley or Malone or whatever.
In that sense, though, I feel like Manny Machado is probably close to shut out from winning
yeah.
one in his career.
Yeah, he had a good shot a couple of years ago.
His great strength is what Manny always talks about, posting and putting the numbers up. The 30
consistent
home runs, yep. the 280 average, the 100 runs batted in, the defense that he plays. But it's never so spectacular
Eye-popping.
That he's going to have the best season. He had that great, great season in 2022, and it wasn't quite enough. And you feel like that's as close as he's probably ever going to get to winning an MVP. Doesn't mean that he's any less of a player. If he continues to put up numbers like he did this season for another 5 or 6 years, that's fantastic. That's a Hall of Fame career, but probably one that won't ever result in an MVP award for Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Tatis, he feels like he has the ceiling and potential to win one at some point. If he has a season where everything comes together, he stays healthy, we know he's got probably 50 home run power in him if he's got a season like that. He's got the potential to steal, 40 or 50 bases, play platinum glove defense. He could put it all together and win an MVP award.
I would say if you had said that 3 years ago, and you probably did, I would tend to agree with you there. For him, it's staying on the field. If he can stay on the field, which is a huge if. I mean, it really is, and does he have that potential? Yeah. I mean, he's lost a step.
Will tends to agree with you. He says in 2021, it looked like Tatis was going to win many MVPs. Now, it's not so certain, but he certainly rebounded from a rocky stretch post-suspension, and while his numbers are back to where they were before, they are climbing in that direction, and he remains only 25.
Yeah, he's 25 years old. It's a matter of health. I mean, look, there were plays I saw this year, and again, you're talking about a guy with a stress reaction in his leg, so of course he's not going to be able to beat out the balls that he beat out in 2021. You remember those days. He'd hit a little nubber down to the short or third, and it was done. I mean, he was on every single time. And this year, you've found him getting thrown out by a half step. But again, the injuries, you just kind of hope that he can rebound from that and stay on the field. I mean, you saw what he's capable of in the postseason, Ben. Just an absolutely elite electric player when right. So it's just, you hope that injuries aren't going to derail him like they have. Mike Trout, though, won a handful of MVPs before his injuries caught up to him. Fernando being 25, I mean, it's a little scarier, you know, and obviously hope the best for him. But him posting and being on the field, I think, is the most important thing.
So what do you remember of Jeter's career? He finished top three times. Third in 1998 in that great Yankee season. Third in 2009 when they won the World Series. His closest call was 2006. He was second behind Justin Morneau.
Justin Morneau.
Just 14 points behind in the voting. And that was the closest that Derek Jeter ever finished in the MVP race.
I'm a huge Jeter fan. I never really felt like he was the MVP, right? But you know, you take nine of him every single time you go out and play, and you feel like you're going to win a lot more ball games than you lose. And obviously a very valuable player, 200 hits damn near every year, you know, huge in the postseason, adequate defense. I know the metrics don't love him, but adequate in that ballpark for that team at that time, forget it, man. He was fantastic.
Tony Gwynn finished third in 1984, which was almost his rookie season. Remember, you know, that was like his, I think, like totally like first. No, well, 1983 was really his first full season. He came up in 1982, but that was like his breakout season. Some people have argued that 1987 is the year he really should have won it. Andre Dawson won MVP that year, even though the Cubs finished in last place. I mean, he had 49 home runs and 137 runs batted in. It was an offensive season, though, an offensive-minded season that year. And Tony Gwynn, that may have been his best chance to win it. He did not even finish in the top five of voting, but if they had used kind of a little more modern kind of metrics and what he contributed to the team that year with his speed and, you know, everything that he added in terms of like war and everything, that could have been the year where Tony might have had a chance to win it.
But we are in the unique position of having a Met fan join us today in Italian Paul, and there is a big target out there for the Mets and Steve Cohen right now, and it looks like offers are allegedly, if you believe what you read, offers are going to start rolling in this week for Juan Soto. He's going to actually have some offers on the table to look at, and I wanted to gauge the interest, surmise the interest of one Italian Paul, our resident Met fan. Don't hold that against him. He's still a good kid. But yeah, I want to surmise his interest. I want to talk Juan Soto. Read an interesting tweet from Peter Gammons that I guess I didn't really realize over the weekend about Juan Soto as well and why he brings a lot to the table.
Well, we can do that coming back. I don't know why you'd want Juan Soto. He's never even won an MVP award.
That's true.
Probably shouldn't be getting really any kind of offers in free agency. He should just take the qualifying offer. I guess it's too late. He missed his opportunity to grab that $21 million payday this year. So yeah, I mean, you know, the sweepstakes are supposed to heat up this week. We can definitely talk about that when we come back with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Didn't mention the actual trade that did go down this weekend in Major League Baseball. Fairly big one for this early in the offseason involving the Cincinnati Reds and the Kansas City Royals. Woods, with pitcher Brady Singer, going to fortify the Reds' starting rotation in exchange for Jonathan India, who was looking like he was going to be a perennial type all-star type player at the beginning of his career. Has obviously not panned out that way, but the Royals need position players. The Reds need pitching depth, and it was a need for need. The Royals also ended up with Joey Weimer, the outfielder in that deal as well. So one of those deals that I guess, you know, you hope benefits both teams if you're involved. Reds certainly have plenty of pitching now, though, with Ashcraft and Lodolo and Nick Martinez back,
Hunter Green.
So They're well stocked, which usually is what you need if you want to try to at least make a run to the playoffs as a wild card. You don't want to ever run out of pitching. We remember what happened to the Padres when they ran out of pitching in 2021. The Reds, if they have reasonably decent health luck, shouldn't run out of pitching this upcoming season. And, you know, they usually hit pretty well in that ballpark. So seems like a team that's at least trying for a playoff spot in 2025.
Yeah, I do like to see this flurry of activity from, you know, some of the teams like the Angels and teams like the Reds and the Royals. The Royals were certainly a blast to watch last year. And you know, potentially with India, he was rookie of the year, wasn't he? I mean, he's a really, really good potential to be a good player. I don't think he was very happy.
He's never lived quite up to the rookie of the year-ness, but yeah, I mean, not a bad player. And they have McClain coming back from shoulder surgery, who's expected to play second for them next season.
Yep.
So he was kind of expendable. Singer, you know, Kansas City is deep in pitching. I'd be a little more nervous as I was Kansas City giving up a pitcher. But they feel like they have enough depth to overcome that. So that was the biggest trade that took place over the weekend.
Yeah, and I want to talk about this week in baseball and alleged, you know, the alleged decisions of teams to start making their pitch to Juan Soto and try to get him.
All right, we'll do that coming up. This segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings to try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple chipotle sweetness and a mild chipotle heat. Or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce with a rich blend of spicy and tangy peppers. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs. Order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. Baseball this week. I also have a trade, not really a rumor, but it was an interesting possibility thrown out by Jim Bowden in his column coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So you started the show today, Woods, by mentioning that this is not the most productive week in a lot of workplaces. And I think that is also true in Major League Baseball front offices. You know, A.J. Preller may still be grinding 22 hours a day this week, but the rest of the GMs may have their phones, you know, set to do not disturb a little bit this week with the holidays coming up. There's generally not a ton of business that gets conducted. There'll be talks this week, but I wouldn't expect a ton of activity in the days right before Thanksgiving.
Clarify that comment, though, because if you're the GM of the Phillies, if you're the GM of the Dodgers, if you're the GM of the Mets, the GM of the Yankees, and, you know, a handful of other teams around baseball, no, you're pretty active this week because of, you know, the rumor mill churning that Juan Soto is actually the rumor is that the deals will be offered this week and that he will actually, he could make his decision prior to the winter meetings, which get underway on December 9th here in Dallas, Ben. So, you know, the Blue Jays, Red Sox, Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, Phillies, those are the teams that are rumored to be in on Juan Soto.
But they've done their pitches to Juan Soto.
Yeah, but you're not setting it to DND.
I mean, you're taking Scott Boras's call. You definitely are not answering Scott Boras's call. If he's interested in a clarification on something.
Correct.
You know, if he's trying to do some, you know, wiggling and, you know, hey, how about we change this and change that? Of course, you're having discussions with him. But in terms of the offers are out there, you know, Juan Soto is now, he's debating the offers with Scott Boras, you know, the pros and cons of each one. And then they'll go back to the teams that are probably of the highest interest, who have the biggest offers, and see if they can squeeze, you know, a few million more or another year or two out of every team that's left in the sweepstakes at the end. And there will be phone calls and discussions. I would imagine that, you know, they'll do some of that this week. And then next week, if he does sign before the winter meetings, it'll probably happen like middle or late next week would be my guess.
Talking about an AAV for Juan Soto of $50 million. $50 million. Italian Paul, you are a born and bred Met fan, New York Mets fan. Your thoughts on Juan Soto in the middle of your lineup next season for $50 million for the next 13 years?
Looking like a pretty nice DH, don't you think?
Eventually.
Well, no, it will be next year. He will be a DH.
Why?
Because we still have Starling Marte under contract. They'll have him play left. They'll have him play right field. Because Soto has proven on multiple occasions that he cannot catch.
He's a Gold Glove finalist, he was a Gold Glove nominee.
Did you watch him play last year?
I did.
And the year before.
And the year before.
And the year before that.
Okay. So he'll be a DH next year.
Next year for the Mets.
It'll be Nimmo in left, Siri in center, and then Marte in right. And then Soto will probably pick up right field the year after.
So okay. So he's signing a deal to go play DH? I don't think so. I don't think that's something
that, if it's for 1 year.
Maybe. Potentially.
I mean you don't pass up your top choice if that's the case.
Yeah, I think you tell
I don't think he wants to be a DH.
I don't think he does either. And I think you tell Jose Siri that you can DH from time, even though he's better defensively. But you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to sign a guy to $700 million.
Just trade Starling Marte. We just said that's correct.
Because it's a $20 million contract. It's a ridiculous amount of money. You're not going to
catch a prospect. You can.
You're not moving.
He's not that bad of a player.
No, he's not. But you're not moving that much money, especially if he's only on the books for 1 year.
Do you want him in New York?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you'd be crazy not to.
It's a generational talent. It's whoever he signs with right now is the cap he's wearing in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And I read this tweet from Peter Gammons, and they said, look, you know, obviously Juan Soto and the hitting and you know, maybe the lack of defense. They said, but the dude is a notorious poster. I mean, he only Marcus Semien has played more games than him in the last 5 years or something. So he's right up there with the guys that you can count on every single day.
You know, Manny Machado will go into the Hall of Fame if he does, cross your fingers, with the Padres. Bryce Harper will go into the Hall of Fame with the Phillies,
yep.
You know, not the Nationals. It's always that last team, with the exception of Dave Winfield, which was an unusual circumstance that he went into the Hall of Fame as a Padre. If that happened today, he'd go in as a Yankee.
Yeah.
The baseball kind of, they changed the rules at the Hall of Fame that you don't get to choose your cap anymore. It gets chosen for you with what they think is most historically important to your career. And he would have gone in as a Yankee had it happened, I think, more recently. But that is true. The next, where he signs is likely where he goes into the Hall of Fame as.
I have this weird feeling, and it's certain people have talked about, like Jake Peavy might have let something slip. David Ortiz is very convinced. I have this feeling that the Red Sox are going to go out and offer the world for Juan Soto, and if there was a team that's a fit, it's them. They need him. They cannot continue to finish where they finished the last couple of years. And again, if you're going to put a guy in the outfield that's not a great outfielder, there's no better place than left field at Fenway Park. Any three of us in a pinch could play left field at Fenway. You stand up against the wall and you play a carom. They have traditionally some of the worst defenders in history play left field in Boston.
And he's not that bad.
No, he's not that bad.
He's not that good either.
He's not that good, but he's not that bad. That team, to me, feels like that could be the one.
Starling Marte, by the way, is going into his age 37 season, making $20.7 million.
Really?
Sounds like a Padre.
I did not know he was that old.
Making $20.75 million.
He's a handsome fellow.
You're not moving that.
You're interesting. You can move it. And Steve Cohen can eat it. Don't forget. If he has to
You're not going
to
cut him either. You're not going to cut a $20 million player.
He could pick up 18 of it if he wanted to. You know what I mean?
I understand that, but just because you can doesn't mean you should or want to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But in order to get Juan Soto, I think you do what you have to do. I am so fascinated as to see. That's kind of my sleeper pick is the Red Sox. I think it makes too much sense.
It feels like for all of his misplays the last couple of years, Scott Boras has... This has worked out just as they've planned it to.
100%.
Take him all the way to free agency, turn down the, you know, 400 and whatever million from the Nationals. Turn down
440.
440. Turn down whatever Peter Seidler probably privately kind of offered with the Padres at some point. And hopefully you get to free agency and there's a big market with six big, you know, large market teams bidding. And that's essentially what has happened. Both New York teams, Philly, Boston, maybe Los Angeles, maybe San Francisco. He's got the big market teams all interested. That's the ticket to an absolute monster deal. Because when you're talking about, you know, $50 million annual average value, how hard is it to then get it? Oh, let's get it up to 52 then to get this done right now.
Yeah, let's get it done right now.
You know, and over... over 10, 12 years, that's another $20, $30 million. You know, that's not a nothing drop in the bucket. That's actually a lot of money. But at some point, the owner's just going to say, well, if we're willing to go that high, why don't we just go a little bit higher and make sure we get this done? And that's what Scott Boras is counting on in these negotiations.
And, yeah, somebody had said in this article, an anonymous baseball executive said, yeah, you know, look, we all know that Boras likes to drag out free agency. He said, but when he has someone like Soto, that usually doesn't happen. I'd be surprised if he hasn't signed by the time we leave Dallas on December 12th, which is good because that's that domino. It gets things moving a little bit. And there's, you know, like we've talked about this morning, there's been some movement in Major League Baseball, but always notoriously slow.
They're expecting him to sign too late. So you're going to see Boras clients signing a lot sooner, maybe not as soon as the winter meetings.
They talked about 5 years ago, he had Gerrit Cole, Steven Strasburg, and Anthony Rendon. Now, one of those three has really worked out. But he had all three of them the same offseason. They all signed during the winter meetings that December for a total of $814 million in contracts. And they're talking Juan Soto could be in the $700 million range, which is just baffling to think about. Good for him. Good for having the temerity to turn down $440 million and then play out the string the next couple of years and get yourself an extra $260 million. Insane. Insane.
All right, I teased it, so I'm going to throw a little bit of a trade scenario grenade into the conversation here. And this comes from Jim Bowden from The Athletic, the former GM. I always seem to like his content. He's very clickbaity when it comes to my baseball offseason stuff. But he wrote a column this morning that basically just taking like fan questions like, hey, would my team trade for this star, for Garrett Crochet? Would they do this? How many prospects would it take? And he goes through, I don't know, like two dozen of these. And I'm looking, are the Padres mentioned at all in any of these? Because AJ Preller's got to be involved in a trade somewhere. Finally, I get all the way down. I scroll to the very last question. And it came from someone named Kyle S. It's actually a Mariners fan. He said, what would it take for Seattle to get Luis Arraez in a trade with the Padres? And Bowden's answer was it would take trading one of these starting pitchers, Logan Gilbert, Bryce Miller, or George Kirby. In other words, the Padres aren't looking to move Arraez unless it makes their major league team better for 2025.
There's chance that Seattle does it.
That's what I think,
none,
too.
None. Zero. There's a 0%
But they need
chance.
Offense so badly.
They do, but all those guys are under contract for many years.
I would jump at that.
Oh, I love him.
And I love Luis Arraez.
But I am sorry.
And if the Mariners were interested, I'd probably even throw in another prospect in the deal to make it happen. I'm sorry. And I know there's a lot of Luis Arraez lovers out there.
I'm one of them.
We're all one of them. If they offered one of those starting pitchers, you have to make that
you
happen
have to,
if you're the Padres.
You have to jump. Jump.
Right?
At any of those.
Okay, I'm not crazy here. Like, when I saw that, I go, they'd be nuts to do that if you were Seattle.
Yeah, you'd be absolutely insane. And listen, they need offense. He's not an offensive provider necessarily, right?
Like, well, if you're saying that, then what value does he have?
Well, okay,
certainly not his defense.
No, he's not going to change the face of the Mariners' offense. Correct? He is. I said it last year when they acquired him. Great fit here, not a great fit everywhere. That to me is one of those places where I don't know that he's the best fit. Do you need a table setter for guys that can't hit behind you? They need so much more.
They need everything, and he is something, at least, that would help them offensively.
If A.J. Preller could pull that deal off and get any one of
save money in that deal,
yes,
too. Like,
oh, my God.
No,
years of
there's
control.
There's just no way. I mean,
there's no chance.
There's just no way,
Jim
right?
Bowden is snorting ketamine.
Well,
there's
no, it's Kyle. Kyle S.
Oh, Kyle S. is snorting ketamine.
I mean, he didn't say it would happen. He's saying that's what it would take to get it done. I'll tell you, that would get it done in my estimation. If they called in Seattle, who's their new GM? If they called,
they don't have.
They don't. They kept the same one. That's right. If they called and made one of those offers, AJ would like.
You'd have to actually play it down. How excited you were.
I don't know. You know, he puts him on hold. Josh Stein. You're never going to believe
this.
Just calling right now.
Mike says, I'd keep her eyes on base percentage is invaluable. Hey, look, again, he's a good fit here.
His on-base percentage isn't that good.
It's not that great.
His average is really good. His on-base percentage is only okay.
He had a down year, though, with a busted-ass thumb. I'd love to see a healthy Luis Arraez get back to, you know, doing what he's capable of doing. That being said, those guys are horses. I mean, all three of those guys, any one of those guys, you would take that deal in a New York minute.
You heard a rumor involving one of the Padres' free agents and potentially a new landing spot. We can share that when we come back. Also, Frank's got the Italian Paul Reindl report today. I am curious how I didn't really see how the F1 race went in Las Vegas. I guarantee you.
I knew Frank was
without even looking. That Frank would get us updated on that. Yeah. So that's coming up next. Final hour of Ben and Woods on The Fan.